It's 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, streaming live, WMFO.org. We also multicast on iTunes.com radio and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown. On this Sunday, August the 6th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation, but to do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That phone number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, 10 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WM4 in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. My host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, August the 6th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Let's go to Major League Baseball scores yesterday. In the National League, the Cubs 7 and the Nationals 4. The Dodgers 7 and the Mets 4. The Padres 5 and the Pirates 2. The Braves 7 and the Marlins 2. The Cardinals 4 and the Reds 1. The Rockies 8 and the Phillies 5. Giants 5 and the Diamondbacks 4. In the junior circuit, the Orioles 5 and the Tigers 2. Red Sox 4 and the White Sox 1. Yankees 2 and the Yankees 2. Okay, and Cleveland 1. Rangers 4 and the Twins 1. I don't know what happened there. Like my needle got stuck. The Blue Jays 4 and the Astros 3. That game went 10 innings. The A's 5 and the Angels zip. And the Mariners and Royals were postponed because of rain. In interleague play, the Brewers 3 and the Rays zip. In that Red Sox game, Mookie Betts went 1 for 4. He's hitting .269 on the season. Brock Holt went 0 for 4, scored a run. He's hitting .210. Andrew Benintendi went 2 for 3, scored a run, 2 RBIs. He also got a walk. He hit his 13th home run of the season. Nunez went 0 for 4. He's hitting .417. Divas went 0 for 4. He's hitting .350. Young went 0 for 3. He's hitting .240. Moreland went 1 for 3. Scored a run. He's hitting .245. Christian Vasquez went 0 for 2 with a walk. He's hitting .280. And Jackie Bradley Jr. went 1 for 3. Scored a run. 2 RBIs. He's hitting .261. He got his 13th home run of the season. Drew Pomeranz went 6 in the third inning. Gave up 7 hits, 1 run. He gave up a home run on his second pitch of the game. 1 walk and 8 strikeouts. He had a 3.36 ERA. 11-4 on the season. Boyer came in, pitched an inning in 2/3. Gave up a hit. He has a 3.21 ERA. Kimbrel came in, got the save, his 26th of the year. He pitched an inning, struck out 2. He has a 1.54 ERA. Red Sox hold on to first place. Yankees won. The Rays lost. So they fall another game behind. And let me see if I can find with my stats the standings. I should have my standings here somewhere. Okay, yeah, the Red Sox 62-49. The Yankees 58-51, 3 games back. Tampa Bay 57-55, 5.5 games back. Baltimore, they won. They are 54-56, 7.5 games back. And Toronto, the Blue Jays won. They're 53-57. In Central Division, Cleveland lost, making them 59-49. The Royals did not play. Get rained out. So they're 3 games back, followed by Minnesota, Detroit, and Chicago. Out west, Houston still has a gigantic lead, even though they lost. And Seattle, Los Angeles, Texas, and Oakland are all playing for next year. The National League, Washington lost 64-44 is their record. The Miami Marlins, they also lost, so they didn't gain any ground. They are 13 games behind, followed by Atlanta, New York, and Philadelphia. In the Central Division, Chicago Cubbies, they won. They're 58-51. And the Brewers also won. They're 58-53. 59-53, half a game behind. Followed by St. Louis, the Cardinals won. They're 54-56, 4.5 games back. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati bring up the rear. Out west, the Los Angeles Dodgers still rolling right along. They have won 10 straight games, I believe. Nope, three. Well, something like that. They've won a lot of games in a row. They're 78-32, followed by Arizona. D-backs lost, so they fall in a game behind. Another game behind. Colorado, San Diego, and San Francisco, they are all way back. And I meant to look up Pablo Sandoval. He played last night for the Giants. I want to see what he did. They had him in the cleanup spot. Shows you how bad off the Giants are. Last place and not looking good. Anyway, the Boston Red Sox has started to hit a little bit better than they had been hitting. Nunez and Devers have been sensational. That's all. What else can you say? How long is it going to take for the rest of the league to catch up to them? I don't know. Will the league catch up to them? Hope not. But they have been playing exceptionally well, and hopefully they can keep it up, and maybe that will be enough momentum to keep them, the Red Sox, ahead of the Yankees and the Rays. The Red Sox go to Tampa, I believe, next after today's game against the White Sox. So it's going to be interesting to see whether they can keep it up. You figure unless the years that Mookie Betts and Benintendi had last year were, flukes, and I don't think they were, that, they're going to raise their averages and hopefully drive in more runs. Betts at 269. He's got to get to at least a 290. I think he can do that. Benintendi at 268. He should get into the 280s. Now, Nunez and Devers, they're hard to figure out. Nunez you know, good hitter, not hit. Well, of course, playing in a bigger ballpark in San Francisco, but not hitting with the power that he's been hitting here. With the question is, will they get a book out on him? And Devers is so young, you know, what they're doing right now seems to be pounding him on the inside, inside and low, to see if he can hit that that pitch, especially left-handed pitchers. But I guess everybody's going to be doing that to see if he can continue to hit those balls. But maybe he's just moving a little bit off the plate. Well, if he does that, then they're going to throw him on the outside. It's a cat and mouse game. But they have certainly added spark to the lineup. Everybody's been getting some timely hits from people. This is what they have to do. That's what they're paying the big bucks for. You know, Christian Vasquez with a walk-off home run. Moreland with a walk-off home run. Yesterday, Benintendi and JBJ hitting home runs with men on base. They didn't get a whole lot of hits yesterday. they were out hit by the White Sox, but they got four runs opposed to the White Sox. One. Now, the Red Sox pitching. From what I understand, David Price had a setback, some more tenderness in his throwing arm, elbow. And so that's not going to help. But everybody else has been doing, you know, really well. Even Rick Porcello, even though his record doesn't look like that good, but his last outing was very good. The last couple of outings were fairly good. And some of the games that they just didn't hit for him. So if the hitting can come around and pick up, I think, you know, the pitching has been really solid, starting pitching and relief pitching. And I understand that Kelly's coming back off the DL. So hopefully, I don't know if he's going to, I don't think he's going to get sent to the minors for rehab work. But they've been doing really well with the people that they have. So let's see if that can continue. Kimbrel has been lights out except for one game recently. But he got 26 saves and 29 opportunities. Can't do much better than that, I guess. They can't ask for much more than that. But overall, like I said, Devers and Nunez, it's going to be hard to figure. Are they going to be able to continue what they're doing? And at what rate? Obviously. Look, yesterday's game. Dustin Pedroia is out with the injury. Farrell decides he's going to rest. Normal DH, and I can't even think of his name. doesn't pay to get old, folks. Hanley Ramirez, why couldn't I think of that? And Leon is out with a little soreness in that game in which he scored the winning run. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be difficult to tell whether these this new influx of players are going to be able to continue anywhere near what they've been doing. But overall, pitching has not been that bad. In his last outing, Eduardo Rodriguez did not do well as we like, but didn't do poorly. But then we've got Porcello. We got a good game out of Fister. I guess he's going to be taking Price's place for the time being. Workman's been doing excellent work out of the bullpen. And actually, Chris Sale has been sailing right along. 13-4 in the season. 2.70 ERA. Yesterday, Pomeranz won his 11th game. Like I said, Porcello and Rodriguez at the bottom of the rotation. Those are the guys you're going to have to, you know, continue to hopefully get good work out of. And I think that, the bullpen has been outstanding overall. And I think I heard someone say that they're the third best ERA in the majors. So, hey, Can't go bad with that. It's 4:23 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting, iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, August the 6th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in that sports conversation. You just have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
Fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. a public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
And also your friends here at Sounds of Praise and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:28 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. I'd love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. Far the world of sports is concerned, love to hear your perspective. What's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world? Okay, I'm going to say spring training. Summer training, pre-season training is underway. And the big talk around here for the past weeks have been the age of Tom Brady, who celebrated his 40th birthday. Ancient. You know, 40 years of age does not really faze me as much as the fact he's played 18 years. Oh my goodness. That's hard to fathom. But hey, he still seems to be working at a good clip in training. And the main thing I am concerned about is health. Long as people don't get injured, you know, in spring training season. Spring training, there you go. In preseason, our overall season should go fairly well. New injuries, I understand. The starting left guard, Joe Thuney, left late in scrimmage. Walking off with a staffer. He had taken some snaps at center as well. And Dont'a Hightower and Alan Branch are still on the pup list. And rookie offensive tackle Andrew Jelks, non-football injury. And they were in sweats, but also did their work on the rehab field. Mike Gillisley and Rex Burkhead, wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell, tight end James O'Shaughnessy. Defensive backs Duron Harmon and David Jones did their work on the lower practice field. And wide receivers Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, and Danny Amendola did not participate in the scrimmage and head to the lower field about halfway through. Dietrich Wise, the rookie defensive end with the Cedric Maxwell-like arms, had another terrific day. He would have been credited with 2 sacks, including a strip sack, if he was allowed to actually hit the quarterback. And that's good news, since we've had the retirement of Nowitzki, whatever. Devin Lucien, the second-year receiver, caught a first-half touchdown pass from Tom Brady and later snagged a highlight reel TD pass on a deep ball from Jacoby Brissett. Tom Brady sizzled in first half action. He completed 10 of 12 passes for a TD and connected on several deep passes. Jimmy Garoppolo, the numbers weren't pretty. 14 of 36, and several throws were downright ugly. To be fair, the receivers didn't help him much with several drops. LeAdrian Waddle, the offensive tackle, was flagged for a false start and then victimized a play later for what would have surely been a Dietrich Wise sack. Brady was robbed of a TD pass to Dwayne Allen. His toes looked down. And DJ Killings was robbed of an apparent interception on a Garoppolo pass to Austin Carr. Tom Brady hit Brandon Cooks on a deep route in the 40 to 50-yard range. Despite triple coverage from Stephon Gilmore, Patrick Chung, and Devin McCourty, Cooks showed great fight to come down with it. On the previous play, Gilmore had a nice pass breakup of a pass intended for Cooks. Brady connected with Devin Lucien, who got behind Shay McClellan and Jonathan Jones for the white team's first TD. It was about a 30-yarder. Lawrence Guy sacked Brady's, not allowed to hit him, on the opening drive. The QB didn't look pleased when Bill Belichick blew the play dead. Undrafted rookie Jason Thompson had a nice pass breakup on a Garoppolo throw intended for tight end Jacob Hollister, arriving at the exact time the pass did. Linebacker Trevor Bates recovered a botched snap between the center and Brissett. Eric Rowe ripped the ball out of Lucien's hand after what appeared to be a completion from Brissett. Other odds and ends. Cam Fleming filled in at left tackle on the first team as Nate Solder was out for a second straight day. Jacoby Brissett played the entire second half and finished 3 of 7 with a touchdown, but like Garoppolo, he was victimized by some drops. Deion Lewis had the most touches of the day, 18 on offense, with Lewis and cornerback Will Likely each wearing blue number 33s. Both are in the 5 feet 7 inch, 5 feet 8 inch range. Things got a little confusing. We think Likely was returning punts. Cyrus Jones had another active and competitive day in coverage and was flawless returning punts. The competition for cornerback behind starters Malcolm Butler and Stephon Gilmore continues to be among the most entertaining at camp. Eric Rowe, Jonathan Jones, Cyrus Jones, Kenny Moore, and DJ Killings have shined at various points. Practice yesterday was at 9:15. We have no information on that. And Sunday, there's no practice. And Monday, joint practice with the Jaguars at 9:30. Tuesday, joint practice with the Jaguars at 9:30. Wednesday, walkthrough with the Jaguars closed to the public. 4:34 is the WMFO time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. This is a Sunday, August the 6th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, love to hear your perspective. What's going on out here in your neck of the sporting world? I'll be back.
At the football game, Jim shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He attempts to high-five everyone on the way to his section, spilling his $10 beer everywhere. Back in his seat, he screams, "Defense!" His friends remind him it's halftime. He takes off his shirt and starts flexing for the camera. He refers to his muscles as gunboats. Jim screams, "How's this for a halftime show?" He tells the story about the time he flexed for the halftime show. His friend informs him that it just happened. To redeem himself, he streaks the field. Jim makes it to midfield before being tackled. The Jumbotron captures it all.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
And also your friends here at Sounds of Praise and the Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:40 is the Brown Perspective on Sport time. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Before we get off the Patriots and the NFL, we got to mention the fact that the word's still not out as far as what the condition of the knee of Ryan Tannehill with the Dolphins is concerned. Will he need surgery? Will he be back with rest or whatever? No one has come up with anything definitive as yet. And so, therefore, that certainly doesn't make it any easier for teams who may be, you know, doing their best to try to catch up with the Patriots. And like I said, as far as the Patriots are concerned, I am just hoping that we can get through everything without any major injuries. Okay, WNBA scores. I didn't give you the WNBA scores yesterday. Chicago 91, Atlanta 86, and San Antonio 87, and Seattle 80. Connecticut is 15-9. And they lead Washington, who's 14-10, by a game. They edged out Phoenix on Friday. Let me give you the Friday scores. On Friday, San Antonio 76, Washington 74, Chicago 81, Indiana 70, Connecticut 93, Phoenix 92, Dallas 93, Seattle 80. And there was a late game, New York at L.A. I don't have that score. So, the Connecticut Sun are still rising. Talking about the sun, today, this morning, coming in. Awesome, full moon out there. Really, great, spectacular sight. So, anyway, the Connecticut Sun are still holding on. Minnesota, I believe, is already clinched their conference. They are 20-2 on the season. In LA, the defending champions are 3.5 games back at 17-6. And Phoenix is behind them. So, it looks like the Sun can continue, they have a good shot of getting into the playoffs. Playoffs! I think that'll be the first time in, 2 or 3 years in the playoffs for the Connecticut Sun? Have to look that up. Okay, 4:43 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5. www.wmfo.org, multicasting in iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, August the 6th, 2017 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. We are now going to turn. Well, let me throw out my little bit I know about soccer. I just got blown away this week with the fact that Neymar is going to receive an ungodly amount of money for playing soccer, and he's leaving one team to join another, and I know nothing about the teams, I know nothing about the leagues they're in. So why am I even talking about this? Just the money that was involved. Okay, because of the fact that soccer has been around in the rest of the world a lot longer than Major League Baseball and all the other sports, it has never really caught on with me. I was watching a soccer game in the Olympics where the women were playing. The United States was playing against, I believe, Japan. And the Americans were bigger and just as fast. So the only thing that Japan did was play defense, and they kept everybody back. And obviously, we're not going to score with two on whatever how many players the Americans had back there. And it was just, you know, to me, a boring game. People running around and whatnot, kicking the ball and bumping into each other and stuff like that. And virtually no shots on goal. And finally, the Americans broke through. I think they scored two or three goals to win the game. But it was obvious what was going to take place. But it, to me, it just never struck home with me as far as something that I would want to see or want to watch on a regular basis. And so, therefore, you know, all the soccer fans out there are going to hate me, but that's the way it is as far as I'm concerned. It never showed me enough. Even when I watched the Americans winning, you know, and I don't watch the other soccer, you know, the Revolution have never showed me. Maybe if they started, you know, winning more games, I'd start watching, you know, I'm a hometowner, whatever. Homer. But anyway, since they have not come up with any winning teams, I guess the biggest thing that has happened with the Revolution recently is the fact that they were trying to build a state soccer stadium in the Columbia Point area of UMass Boston, and I guess it got out that they were trying to do this behind the backs of the people who live in the area. And so that sort of got blown out of the water and a black eye for Robert Kraft and company. But to me, you know, maybe they need a better stadium. Maybe they need it closer to Boston. I don't know. But still, to me, it just, you know. So you get a smaller stadium. I guess, you know, the crowds in Foxborough, you know, look tiny in a big 60,000-seat stadium. They are getting probably more than 20,000 people a game. And the team is not a winning team, so therefore there's not that much interest among people who are maybe soccer zealots, but who watch it on a national basis. So anyway, it just blew me away that the team that Neymar is going to was willing to pay hundreds of $200 million, I guess it was. I don't know, $200, a whole lot of money. And then pay him an enormous contract as well, something like $83 million a year or whatever. I don't know. But I don't have the figures. It just was, you know, mind-boggling. I thought I'd throw it out there, show you my ignorance as far as soccer is concerned. Okay, 4:48 here on WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. On the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And I'm looking for my stuff. I'm going to talk Boston Celtics. If I can find my stuff. Maybe I should just bring the music up, and then I can look for the stuff without rattling all these papers in your ear. How about that? Okay, we're back. 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Touch Free Farm Radio, or on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting, iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM.org. Okay, I have in front of me the Boston Celtics roster. And I'm interested to see what kind of combinations that Brad Stevens is going to come up with this coming season. We've added, hopefully, some rim protection and rebounding in Ante Zizek, 6'11", 250, and also from Daniel Theis, who's 6'9", 243. He's from Germany. And we also got Aaron Baines from Detroit. Aaron Baines is 6'10", he's 260. And we still have Al Horford. So the question is, who's going to be our starting team? And that's the question, I guess, that we're out there looking at right now. And obviously, if he's healthy, and I haven't heard any more to the contrary, Isaiah Thomas is going to be our starting point guard. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. Gordon Hayward looks like a small forward at $29 million. I guess he should be a small forward, right? I think they're going to start using Jay Crowder at power forward. And that will mean that Al Horford will be our center. Now, the question is, who's going to be our shooting guard now that Avery is gone? I guess some of the contenders would be Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, we do have the young guys, Kadeem Allen and Jabari Bird. Bird is 6'6". And what I have been hearing and what looks like is a possibility is that the Celtics are going to attempt to use Jaylen Brown at shooting guard. That would be interesting. At 6'7", he has the ability probably to cover small forwards, shooting guards, point guards. They even played him against power forwards last year at some time. Now, what is the bench going to be like? The bench is going to be an area of concern. So let's just say that we plug in the previous bench people. So that'd be Terry Rozier at point guard, Marcus Smart at shooting guard, I would have to say Ante Zizek at center. Aaron Baines, perhaps, at power forward. And Abdel Nader at small forward. There you go. How about that? The rest of the roster, Semi Ojeleye, power forward from SMU, looked good in summer camp, summer league or whatever it was. We didn't see Gershon Yabusele, but because he's recovering from surgery. But they signed him to a $2 million contract, so therefore, I'm assuming he's going to make the club. They're thinking he's going to make the club. Then there's Daniel Theis, who they brought over from Germany. So we got some pretty big bodies making up the lower end of the bench. So it's going to be interesting to see how many of them can come through and make the team a little more, well, continue in their defensive ways and keep the team moving forward, hopefully offensively off the bench as well with more athleticism. Avery Bradley's going to be missed, without a doubt. The question is, will Haywood make up for that with far more scoring potential? Bradley averaged 16 points a game. I think Haywood did something like 22 points a game. That 6-point differential has to be improved upon. And I think it will, because Isaiah now, when he gets doubled and triple teamed, will have someone hopefully he can get the ball out to and who can make some shots. So we'll see how far the team has improved. Have they improved? Will they continue to improve? This is a team that probably might get off to a slow start, but as the season goes along, should improve under the coaching of Brad Stevens. It's 4:57 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 in your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, August the 6th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. Time to put the wraps on this edition. We'll be back next Sunday at 4 a.m. Lord willing, to do it all over again. So you get ready to tune in and give me some sports talk here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Stay tuned for Sounds of Praise. We have a fantastic program coming your way. We're featuring the music of Tamela Mann and Friends here on Sounds of Praise from 5 until 8 a.m. You don't want to miss that. So until next time, your host, Donnelly Brown, saying God bless. Have a fantastic day. And stay tuned for great gospel music here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. We'll be right back.